Hey everyone, this is Lori Fetrick, and I have a special announcement right now, and that is this. So really pay attention if you can. And that is, if you go in and you rate and review my podcast, what I'm going to do is I am randomly going to choose one person per month. Yes, one person per month I'm going to grab, and I'm going to have you come onto my podcast, and we're going to do a rapid fire. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll get some audience participation out there, and I want to give back. So this is me giving back to my audience. So please go rate, review my podcast, and I will pick at random one person per month to come on my podcast and do a rapid fire. So thank you so much, and go right now and rate and review. Welcome back to Chilling with Ice, and I'm your host, Lori Fetrick, and we are here with an extremely wonderful guest today, and I've got my engineer here, Jeff.
We are Chilling with Ice.
What's up?
Nothing much. How was your week?
It was great. It's great. I got some friends in town, one of which, who the audience may know, was on Beer with Friends, Jai. He's at the Dodger game being the mascot. So,
nice.
Yeah, but it's been fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, how was El Paso? You were just there.
El Paso was fun. The Comic-Con was a lot of fun. And I actually got to meet, I always meet some really amazing people, obviously, when I go to these Comic-Cons. And actually, our guest today is actually, I met her at the Comic-Con.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And she was a guest, kind of a stalker fan. I'm totally joking.
the first stalker on Chilling with Ice. I love it.
But no, it was the Comic-Con was amazing. The promoter was great. The weather was perfect. So,
sweet.
You know, I got to do a couple morning shows before the Comic-Con on that Friday. So that came out beautiful. So whoever anybody wants to see those morning shows, definitely go to my channel, which is my website, actually, which is LoriFetrick.com. And you can scroll down and you can see everything that I've been doing and my upcoming appearances and stuff.
Gotcha.
So that was a great thing. So let me introduce, my
who do
next
we have
guest
today?
Here.
Does she live in El Paso?
Yes, she actually does live in El Paso. Her
Perfect.
Name is Aisha Dagher. She had to help me pronounce that last name because she threw some things in there.
Yay.
She is a licensed professional counselor, associated LPC. She has a master's of science in mental health counseling.
Sweet.
She is from El Paso, Texas. And so welcome, Aisha. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Aisha. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you all for having me today. Thank you all for also visiting El Paso.
I know, right? It was great. It was fun. Did you have fun at the Comic-Con?
Yeah. Oh my God. I loved it. I love seeing all the different creators, all the different artists that come out and vendors and just sharing their stories, and I'm all about the connection, and it was just wonderful as always. And great weather, you know,
and great
Sun
weather
City.
Exactly. And it was kind of cool because we connected. I mean, you came to the table, you and your husband.
Yes.
And we just started talking, and then, you know, you let me know that you're a therapist and your specialty is in, you know, trauma therapy. And of course, we just started talking and went off. And I was like, oh my God,
this is
a great podcast for people. So let's kind of dive into this. And that is, give me a little bit about you and your background and how you actually got into this field.
Oh, that's super great. So let's talk about a little bit of Aisha's childhood, my childhood.
Okay.
So it was rough. I actually had a really rough childhood, really, really poor. Both my parents were addicts, my mother and my stepfather. So little trigger warning for people there. I knew I had to go to school, Lori. Mm-hmm. I knew in order for me to get out of this, I need a piece of paper, mm-hmm. right? I am Hispanic. And so I was first generation getting a higher degree for school and stuff like that. And so when I was going to school, I got a bachelor's in health promotion. Mm-hmm. I love health. I love community and connecting people. And you're going to laugh. I went to go and get a second bachelor's. I went to become a registered dietitian. I'm an RD dropout because I saw the need of mental health. And that kept calling me to my roots.
Oh, well, good.
You know, with a lot of the eating disorders, a lot of that different stuff that was going on when I was a student that I couldn't touch. Mm. Yes, I could give you a menu and fix all these deficiencies with numbers, but I couldn't get to the root and the cause. of helping this person. Mm-hmm. And it was out of my hands and I felt incomplete. I was like, I can't do this. There's no way I could do this. So fast forward some time, it took a few months off, took a break. And, you know, everyone would joke with me and be like, you need to be a therapist. I was also a people pleaser. I was always like trying to, you know, hear people's stories and make people feel great, you know, in connection and laugh. And I was like, you know what? Let's just get my master's in mental health counseling. Let's do it. Let's see what it's about. And I remember as little Aisha growing up, I would see different therapists, right? You know, with CPS being involved and different things like that. I couldn't find a super good connection. There was always like this piece missing of my healing journey. Mm-hmm. And it was that part of trauma-informed care. I'm always like this, right? Why is this other part of me like this? And we'll kind of get into those different parts work until I found the agency that I was doing my internship and practica do this type of work. And that's where you have it. That's where the story just kind of lit on fire and I'm running with my ass on fire, Lori. And I enjoy it. I enjoy every single moment of it. And you know what's my favorite part? It's because of storytelling.
Okay.
That you can't buy.
Tell me a little bit more about the storytelling and why you can't. I mean, tell me what that connection is with you.
That to me is like, you know, I'm super old school. Yes, I'm young, but I don't live on the internet, you know? So I will like sit there at a cafe and I'll chat to like the person, the cashier, the person behind me. I think that's what we need in life. I think that is that human connection that we have. That is the most beautiful sentiment thing.
So do you think we're missing that, especially in this time of our life with all the internet and the Facebook, you know.
That yeah. Insta-X.
Insta-X. I mean, let's just rename them all. But, you know, nowadays it's like, you know, everybody's online and they're on their phones and nobody's looking up from their phone to actually look at someone in the eyes and say hello. You know, so I'm old school as well, you know, and that is how do we do that with people? I mean, how do we get that connection back? I mean, I know I try to stay off my phone as much as I can when I'm in public and stuff. And I want to be present. I want to be present in that moment with that person. And nowadays it's very hard to find that, I would imagine. I mean, all these dating apps that are out there. I mean, people are dating, they're dating on dating apps instead of actually going outside their house, walking out the door and going somewhere and meeting someone in person nowadays. That's gone.
I have a great tidbit. So there is a story that was shared by a professor.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys have heard about this. So the story goes, this research goes, there is four floors, right? And so it's a mixer of dating. And there's a group of women and there's men in each floor, okay? And so we instruct the women, hey, ladies, you're going to find the man of your dreams, right? You guys gave us your inquiry. We wrote it down. We brought great, amazing men for you to meet. You guys are going to go. So the first group, they go in. They're meeting the guys, they're chatting, they're getting it on. They're like, wow, this is great. So then their time ends, right? So then the ladies are like, man, let's go to the second floor. Let's see what's on the second floor. So the ladies go on the second floor, they're chit-chatting. Some of them find the guys that are like, hey, I want to date this guy. This guy's great. So then the ladies go on the third floor. Boom, dream man. They found everything that they need, right? They're enjoying the guy. They're enjoying the conversations. They're like, you know what? This is it. So then the next floor, the ladies go, they're on the roof with nobody because we keep wanting more and more. And we are human. There's a lot of imperfections. Yes, I will have my list, but you know what? At the end of the day, we have a balance beam, right?
Right.
My husband is going to leave socks on the damn floor. but he picks them up 2 to 3 days later. I don't care. You know, but it's that perfect pendulum. That's right.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a pile of socks next to
wet towels.
I have a pile of socks next to my bed on my side. And my girlfriend walks by the other day and goes, I think your socks are having babies because they keep accumulating in this one pile.
Yeah. And you're like, where the hell are my socks at?
I'm like, I'll get to it. I promise I'll get to it.
Do you buy new packs, Lori?
Do I buy what?
Do you buy new packs of socks? Because you're like, I don't want to wash them. Or
no, I'm not that bad. I'm so not that bad. I will do my laundry and stuff. But I understand what you're saying. We always want more. You know, it's like, it's that ever so craving of more, more, more. Sometimes it's not bad. Because I mean, sometimes that drives you, but then again, when it comes to other things, people, meeting people, intimacy, things like that, more, 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 you know, and sometimes you just got to go, wait a minute, I'm happy with what I have right now. I'm happy with this, you know?
Right.
It's funny because you and I were talking and I do believe in therapy. I really do believe in therapy. And I was doing therapy when I was like 28 to 30 area, off and on, checking in, checking out, you know. And I just recently, and like I was explaining to you, I recently actually just started going to check in, you know, to kind of check in with myself and what's happening and, you know. And it's like, am I good? You know, am I going through a midlife crisis? Am I a little crazy here? I mean, I think we all have a little crazy.
That's why we're human, right? That evolution of all those things, right? But I think you said the perfect key there. You're checking back in.
Yeah.
Right. That's super important. Like we every day, our lives, we get shit thrown at us all the damn time, right? And we're not born, right? We learn how to walk and crawl, but they're like, they don't teach us, hey, let's go ahead and teach you how to regulate your emotions. Mm-hmm. How about that? You know, they don't teach us that.
And speaking of which, that's how we got on the subject because you asked me if I had seen a movie. The kids' movie, Inside Out. Inside Out.
Yes.
And yes. That's so where that it started.
Like with IFS. Yes. That Inside Out portion where we talk about internal family systems, and the creator was named Richard Schwartz. He's wonderful. He's still teaching us to this day. He does CEUs. You can find books. And so what his theory is about, so little background, guys. So when I say the lens of theory, there's many, many theories, right, us therapists utilize. So here we're going to talk about the lens of IFS. So we're going to be talking a little bit of parts work.
And tell me what you mean by IFS.
So it's called internal family system.
Okay, thank you.
When we're looking at IFS, this core of therapy, it looks at our central part as an ecosystem, right? The self is us. So the self would be Lori, right? And then other parts of this, they're four main characters, the self, manager, firefighter, and we have exiles. And so what these different parts do, they're created even as children that we do have. They're going to protect you at all cost. And you're going to even have parts that are managers. They're protectors. And sometimes they're going to take over. They're going to take over and they're going to be like, this is a threat. That's a threat. And what we talked about is like, does the brain even know how old we are? And is this still truly a real threat? Right. And so this is how we start naming those parts into therapy. Another part is the firefighter. And this one can be good or bad. It's like the double-edged sword. Damned if I do and damned if I don't. And that is, it's going to come in. It's going to be like, whoo, you got a lot of stress. Hold on. Let's take it slow. Let's take a rewind. And it's going to protect us. And then other times, it won't protect us. That's when we can feel suicidal ideations. We can feel like, oh my God, the world is ending. What do I do? How do I cope? And then the other part is in IFS is exile, right? Deep embedded trauma that we have not worked on, you know? parts from childhood that are probably repressed or anything of that matter that we're like, you know what, we're going to tuck this in and we don't want to touch it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to stay there. But as we become adults and we're doing things and meeting partners and, you know, opening businesses, like how you shared with me earlier, sometimes these different parts come out. And that's when it can get us in a little bit of trouble. And that's when we start discovering, okay, what are these parts that are overriding us? Sometimes parts kind of mesh. It can be Aisha's teenage rebel self with, you know, her mama bear. Mm-hmm. And they're going to mesh and they're going to protect at all costs. And they sometimes they're not even reasonable, right? They're just going to do whatever it takes to protect Aisha the self.
Gotcha.
So that's a little bit of a background of IFS. Well, and so when you see that Disney movie, right, Lori, uh-huh. you see the kid, you know, seeing like anger and happiness and like going through her life. And that's a little bit of a tidbit of like what we do with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we were talking, which was interesting to me, you said something about when it comes to trauma and stuff like that, that the brain doesn't know the age. Am I correct on that?
Yes. So as we are maturing, as the brain is evolving, it's the prefrontal cortex part right here, the delicious part that I always love to tell my clients is this is where rational thinking comes from, regulation, emotion, and it can also be incorporated with our amygdala, another part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And the amygdala is survival mode, right? That's that primitive part that we've had developed. And it's that smoke detector. It's like, what's going on? Hypervigilance, right? It's always on. Mm-hmm. So for me, for example, I had a very traumatic childhood. I was always on because I didn't know what was going to happen. There was always mayhem. There was no co-regulation. There was always flight or flight or freeze. There was also like submit and shame in me, right, that I had all those years. I'm going to have a birthday. I'm going to be 29. So imagine what that does to our brain, mm-hmm. right? A protecting.
Right.
Protecting. Guess what I would always do? My brain, the way it would protect me, Aisha, you go hide in your closet, lock all your doors, and become really, really small. Mm. Become really, really small so they don't notice you.
Interesting.
Remember that N word? Needs. The N-word needs. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have that. I'm 29 years old, about to be. And if I hear a slam door or someone with a high voice, male, I'm like, oh shit. Little Aisha comes out in that part's work. Hmm. It's like, whoa, I'm going to protect you. Let's go and hide. Myself, this is how we talk. I'm like, Aisha, you got this. Little Aisha, let me hold your hand. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It was the wind that just shut the door. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Right. And then that's when you talk to those parts. But if we don't know this, right, that brain response, it's going to keep doing it and doing it because that is survival. That amygdala is protecting. And they say it takes about 25 years for that prefrontal cortex just to even fully mature.
Really?
Because we need all those life experiences. Yeah, we need all those fuck ups and like touching our hand in the hot pan, you know?
Exactly. That is hitting that stove over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Learn from your
it's
mistakes.
Like, what?
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we keep doing that shit too. Trust right. me.
I know. So now, how does it come about with maybe you can explain this to me because I don't understand this. So I'm going to ask you this question since you have gone through the nutritional, you know, part of it. Okay. But you want to help people. Mm-hmm. So what I don't understand is our country is so it's kind of out of control when it comes to obesity now, you know, and yet there are 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
And I've always been the advocate of, we've got one body, you know, and this is my body is like my human, you know, and somebody said something the other day and it just clicked. And they said to me, they said, you know, when somebody says they have a little kid and they go, I think the question was, you know, why do you care so much about your child? And they're like, well, because it's my child. It's my human. Okay, well, I am my human. This is my human that I'm supposed to take care of. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that. And they don't take the time to take care of their human, which is them. And it made so much sense to me. And I was just like, oh my God, that's so brilliant. You know, but okay, so with that being said, my question is this. With the way that our country is and the obesity is so, you know, rampant, and I do really blame a lot of it on our food system. I really do. It's absolutely terrible. But I see a mother inside of a supermarket and she's very obese. But then I look next to her and I see her child, and the child is obese at 5 and 6 years old. And in my mind, I automatically ask myself, wait a minute, she knows what it's like to feel this weight and to carry this around. And this is, I mean, people say, yes, be happy in your own skin. And I want people to be happy in their own skin, but that's gotta be so hard on the body to carry that weight, and the way that little heart that's the size of a softball to take care of a 250 pound, you know, person. So my question to you, and I know this is a long drawn out question, but how can they let their kid be obese knowing that this is where they're at? What happens to the psyche, the mental part of this?
I love this question, and I love your passion. I see it in you. It's burning in there, you know? You're like, let me fix this.
I'm a fixer, I realized.
Yeah. You need to be an IO psychologist. You'll fix the world.
Too many years of school.
But, you know, yeah, why not? We got time to kill, right? You know, it's all right. But, you know, going back to what your question is, I think it's a very multifaceted question.
Okay.
We have so many layers. So I'll take me, for example, Lori. I was very low income, poverty, right? My parents didn't think of nutritional value when they can only squeeze X amount, right? And this is just the tip of my side, right? And how much could I buy on food stamps to feed 5 kids, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I saw, at least in my life. But I'll tell you, because there's a little twist in the story, okay? Out of us five, everyone was on the larger end except for me. Hmm. We joked about being a runner because I was a power lifter. Mm-hmm. My way to escape things, I would run. Did I have the best food, the best nutrients? No, I did not. But I took advantage of after school programs. I took advantage of escaping my life through sports.
Okay, I can understand.
So I'll put
that.
My personal side on.
Okay.
So let me put my professional side on from dropping out as a dietitian in school and then therapist.
Okay.
I think what we see now is it's survival, I think, Lori. I think we see a lot of survival is are these single parents? Do we have education? You know, yes, also dollar value amount. Who's cooking at home? Mm-hmm. You know, is mom actually cooking? Is it grandparents? Are they switching out many different roles that we see here? I think it's also a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. I saw it a lot. I would see babies that were like 25 pounds overweight.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, they're just like 2 years old. Like, I'm like, what's going on? You know, they're very young, from like itty bitties to 1 to 2. And I worked in an ADA camp, and we would let the kids have fun who had type 1 diabetes, and some of them were well taken care of and some. And you know, I think it's just a system of how can we do preventative care. And then coming back also culturally too, I was really skinny at one point. They thought I was sick, Lori. They're like, you gotta put some pounds on you. Right. Like Hispanic culture, like we want you thick, we want you meaty. Like if you ain't eating the plate, and you know, it is so hard.
I get
right
that.
Because yeah. that, and I feel your defeat, Lori. I really do, because that's another reason why I couldn't stay in that system. Mm-hmm. Because how can I tell someone culturally, and be very gentle and let them know, hey, you know what? I know this is a part of culture, but in order for us to stay healthy, right, with our A1C levels, cholesterol, hypertension, heart, all those great things, we kind of have to slow it down and reteach them mm-hmm. nutrition.
And, right? And you're absolutely right. We do have to, there has to be more teaching in our society, you know, but and I understand the cultural yeah. side of it as well.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Energy is on the verge of fizzling out, especially during those draining winter months. Trust me, I know. I've been there. Life's demands can keep us overwhelmed and exhausted, but it's so crucial to be recharged. If you're struggling, therapy can be the key. BetterHelp offers convenient online therapy tailored to your needs. Their licensed therapist can help you navigate when you're overwhelmed, set boundaries, and even beat those winter blues. If you're thinking of starting a therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out the quick questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Don't let burnout sneak up on you. Take charge of your well-being today and find your social sweet spot. Visit BetterHelp.com/ice for 10% off on your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ice. Let's power you up together. My girlfriend is Hispanic and her family is pretty, a lot of them are all overweight. And she took
you, after, you see it. You
yeah,
see it.
Her, yeah. She took after her dad, which was very tall and thin. And so they were always like, eat, girl, eat, eat. You know, they were like shoving down the tortillas and beans and everything with her. And she's just like,
girl, you're making me hungry.
And she's like,
yeah,
oh.
yeah.
But okay, so I can accept that. I do understand what you're saying. I just was wondering, and the sad thing is that inexpensive food is shitty food, you know, unfortunately. And that is so sad, you know, in America. Is that
I got you a little frozen.
That's okay.
I apologize.
You're back. You're.
I hope I look good frozen.
You look good frozen. But what I was saying is that unfortunately our food system, the way it is really inexpensive food is shitty food. It's terrible, you know? And so with that being said, I mean, it is hard, and I understand what you're saying about a lower income, you know, family, and maybe they are on food stamps and this is all they can afford and this is all they can buy. And I get that. But here's my next question, though. I'm going to go there and go.
Push me.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm like this. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This kid is huge. How much is this kid eating? You know, and if you only have a certain mm-hmm. amount of money to feed these kids, you would think it would almost be the opposite.
Well, I mean, high caloric density, right? Think about it. A small cookie, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Compared to a fruit.
Gotcha.
I can get shoved down. Right. The volume and quality was mm-hmm. an issue, too, when we would do that. We would actually break down price points at $25. We're going to feed a family of four, two parents, two children. Mm-hmm. Right. And let's make sure we meet all the nutritional needs. I'm not going to lie, Lori. This was about 5 years ago. It was still very, very expensive.
Oh, I know.
You know, to me, even a portion of that, you know, healthy nutritional stance that is regulated for us. And I do agree with you. It is very frustrating when you can't get that portion. But here's the kicker that I always love to tell people. When you're in front of you, right, in front of anyone, guess what's the closest thing in front of you besides your phone? Food, mm-hmm. water, drinks. Mm-hmm. It's always closer to you than my partner will ever be, 99% right. of the day. Right. I think that's a thing too, right? It is so accessible and it is so close to us. And that relationship with food It's difficult.
And that's a whole other thing. And it could be, like you said, trauma. I mean, and this, mm-hmm. and with that being said, one of my best friends growing up, she kept weight on her because as a kid, unfortunately, she was molested. And so therefore she figured in her mind that if she were overweight, then the men would find her unattractive and they'd leave her alone. So I found that fascinating, you know, so.
Absolutely.
I mean, speak on that just a little bit as far as like when it comes to trauma, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So let's take a step back, right? So when we are talking about anything with rape, molestation, right? Naturally, humans, we look at things by appearance, mm-hmm. attractiveness. Mm-hmm. What does society say? At least we'll talk about American culture. You want to be thin, beautiful, you know, average, normal type of thing, right? So this is what we talk about, protective factors. If I can hide and be very tiny, mm-hmm. right? And if I can make myself also big and unattractive, right? If that's what this person's protective factor is, right? I'm going to get as big as I can. And if I'm big, I can also overtake them. Mm-hmm. If I'm puny, they can't do nothing to me, right? Mm-hmm. It's not even just about the weight and societal rules, right? And I just want, you know, for the record of people to know, like, body empowerment, you know? But that is a protective factor. I'm going to make myself look like I didn't look like when this trauma happened to me. Mm. So I'm going to be someone I don't notice in front of the mirror.
Interesting.
Whether it's 10, 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut my hair. That's a very big thing when we go through those first stages. They'll either shave their hair, cut it, dye it, even very different colors. Mm-hmm. Because we're trying to figure out why that part happened to me, mm-hmm. and what was responsible for it. Which it's not their fault at all, right? But the brain is trying to say, what is it? You know, let's morph into a different body, something that they've never touched, seen, or anything before. And then we're going to walk with that, you know? And that's not always the case, right? But
certain
that has been some of the things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, to me, that does make sense.
Absolutely.
Right? You're stronger, you're bigger, you know, you can lift heavier. And also it feels like you are a different person if you look at yourself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You gain 20 pounds or you lose the 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people look at themselves differently in the mirror, and that is something very, very important to them that people who have not gone through that series of unfortunate events understand.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, when we look at the fight, flight, freeze, the submit and shame, and then the cry for help, those two make sense to the body and the brain protecting mm-hmm. itself. Because this is something in society that we don't talk about, right? It's very hidden. We wrap it up in a pretty box. We're like, I was raped and molested. Here you go. And we're like, what do we do with this? Mm-hmm. What do we do with this? And that's not fair.
Right.
Right? That's not fair for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's where this beauty of empowerment and coming on your show and talking to the community about it, right? That there's more to that. And when we do say gain those extra pounds, mm-hmm. it's a normal response.
Right.
Right? The brain is so powerful, right? If I can leave anything with you all, the brain is so powerful. It is going to do anything in its way to protect you.
Absolutely.
And remember how I talked about those firefighters earlier?
Yeah.
How they can be really great at helping us.
Yeah.
Or it can be not so great. And then that's when we have to work with that turmoil inside.
Right.
Be like, okay, what's going on here? Right. And a manager part can also appear with that molestation and rape and say, nope, you don't have any of the N words. You don't have no needs. None. You can't look beautiful, because if you're beautiful, guess what's going to happen? It's your fault. You were X, Y, and Z.
Definitely. Right? Yeah.
And that's just in the lens of trauma and the lens of, you know, IFS, right? Mm-hmm. Those parts are going to be fighting at all costs. So guess what wins? The brain.
The brain.
At least in my idea.
It's fascinating to me because, you know, when we speak of trauma, there are so many different levels of trauma. And this is what we were talking about earlier as well. You know, there's the emotional trauma, there's financial trauma. There's all these different traumas, and yet we don't think of them sometimes as trauma, mm-hmm. you know? And like you said absolutely. Earlier, we just tuck them in back in the head, don't think about it. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, just pull the carpet right over it and let's just keep moving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm very guilty of that. I mean, sometimes something will happen in my life and I'll be like, okay, cool, I can deal with that. Boom, put a rug over it, whatever, or I'll deal with it later or whatever it may be. And so that's I think that it's not even like seeking out. I mean, it sounds such a weird word to say, seeking out a therapist, but you can't look in the yellow pages and just grab a therapist. Most of the time it's always from a referral, you know, type of situation.
Referral. Oh, mm-hmm. I love that you brought this up. Yes. How to find a therapist.
Therapist.
Yes, right, because there's so many different types of us, mm-hmm. right? There can be trauma-informed care. There's people who do CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy. So that with it, they'll be like, oh, you have these type of thoughts? Well, let's reframe them. Let's fix them up, you know? And there's so many different types of therapists. And I love that you brought this up because I feel like it's so important, right? We go on Psychology Today. A lot of people don't know about that. You can actually do control find and do a filter, say like anxiety or, you know, molestation or LGBTQ or, you know, Hispanic or cultural or anything on there. There's career therapists that help you with your career. You know, there's so many different types of us out there. And I don't want people to ever give up. I always make this crack of this joke when I meet my clients first. I'm like, look, we're going to see if this rolls. You don't like me, it's okay. Fire me. I'll send you a referral, whoever's fitting. And I tell them, look, it's like if I'm your attorney, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to go to this big court case. Your girl got to have your back.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be this symbiotic, like a neutral working foundation. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not, guess what I'm going to end up doing? Mm-hmm. I'm going to open a wound out and leave them bleeding. Mm. I don't want to do that to anybody.
Right.
And that's how I know, okay, maybe we're not going to be a match. Let's figure this out. Because I don't want to leave someone walking out of therapy wounded like a deer. And then they're going to come back and they're going to be like, fuck therapy. This shit sucks. And I'm going to be like, yeah, because I just wounded you. And I didn't even have time to help you, you know, process that.
Right.
And, you know, that's like the psychoeducation that I feel like therapists, we really need to give that to our clients. Because they come in and they're like, oh, I got a lot of problems and I'm going to talk about the most superficial one. I had anxiety today because someone flipped me off. I don't know. You know, like... And it's like we gotta do the tango, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever dance they want to dance. We have to do that because then I ain't doing shit. Mm-hmm. I ain't doing my job. You know what I mean? And that's a disservice to my community. That's a disservice to that person. And that's something that I will never want to do. And don't get me wrong, us as therapists, we're not perfect.
So what you're saying is like give a therapist more than just one session, at least two, three, four, to see how the dance is going.
Let me tell you something. So through trauma-informed care, research shows an average from anywhere from 8 to 1 year, mm-hmm. the real work actually starts.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because we're just getting to know each other. Think about it.
Yeah.
We're just getting to know each other. And I'm going to ask you on the first day, your deepest, darkest secrets. Right? And I'm gonna be like, okay. And then the next session, okay, what do you got for me, Lori? Let's mm-hmm. talk. Right? And so it's like we're just meeting at a cafe, right? We're meeting at a cafe, we're talking, and then one day you're gonna unload. You're gonna give me one of your bricks. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I hold that brick for you now.
Gotcha.
I'm like, okay, that's what I'm here for.
Right.
You're gonna unload all those things that you need to work on.
Right.
Because then that is the work we're doing in therapy.
It's
right. And don't get me wrong, superficial stuff is great, but it's when we're comfortable to now hold hands
and dance. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and then I think a lot of people have the misconception of therapists because we have a joke that goes on. That is this. So I went to therapy today, and how did that go? And everybody laughs and they'll go, how did that make you feel? You know, because it's like, that's always the you know, as you're talking to your therapist and you're unloading and all of a sudden, you know, they go, and how does that make you feel? You know, and so it's like kind of the, and yet the funny thing is I've been in therapy a couple times and yet she has not asked me that question yet, which is like, I'm waiting for it.
You're like, I'm going to ask you right now, Lori, how do you feel about, you know, us sharing about therapy? And like, does it make you curious? That's my biggest thing. I don't really ask, like, how does that make you feel? You know what? My thing is, like, let's get curious. What parts
I'm fascinated with my brain and how it works and, you know, how my emotions work. And, oh, that's interesting. Why did I respond that way? And why do I feel this way? I am extremely curious about my brain, my own self sometimes. You know, sometimes I'll glaze over it. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'll glaze over it just like the normal person because it's interesting. And then the other thing is we started talking about like the chaos in your life, you know, and I was like, what does that mean? Oh. Chaos in your life.
I had to ask
the question because chaos to me just seems like, wah, you know, chaos. But then it was explained to me as, no, it doesn't have to be that way. What we mean by chaos in your life, in your work life, is you have to constantly be busy. It has to be ever so changing for you. It can't be the normal 9-to-5. It can't be the mundane. It can't be the boring. Chaos is moving. Everything is, it's changing from day to day to day. And I'm like, absolutely, that's my work life. And I love it though. You know, I do.
So let me ask you, Lori.
How does that make you feel?
A therapeutic question. What happens to you when it's quiet?
I get bored. And when I get bored, it's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I just get bored when I'm quiet. However, I can be quiet when I leave my home and I go to a beach and I sit there and I look at the ocean and I'm in with nature. Once I'm one with nature,
so that's your mindfulness.
I can quiet my mind. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. But I'm going to turn it back.
Okay.
You didn't answer my question, Lori.
Damn, therapy 101 on chilling with ice.
You're like, oh shit, let's do a rewind right here. I froze. I ain't gonna answer that. But look,
I don't want to play anymore. Right when we, no, I'm
kidding. Look, I already feel you. I see you touching your skin. You're like, I ain't paying this shit. I ain't doing it.
Damn, this is inexpensive though. It's a podcast. Perfect. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Oh my god, I got a niche. I'll just bring on all the therapists and I'll get my free therapy on podcasting.
Absolutely, and we're still gonna be broke. That's the world of it.
All right,
you know what? I came and asked you about that boredomness, that silenceness.
Okay,
because there may be a part in Lori's internal family system that is like, ooh, shit, I don't like it quiet because I don't know, intrusive thoughts are like, oh shit, I gotta get this shit done. Or perfectionism or anything. I mean, I'm just kind of throwing things out there in the wind.
Keep throwing until I can grab one.
As why Lori just likes to always be busy bee, mm-hmm. Right? And what happens when that part touches Lori's boredom button, right? Hmm. I'm going to push that boredom button right there.
Well, as a kid though, I was always that kid that goes, I'm bored. You know, I was that kid that if I wasn't outside, if I wasn't outside climbing trees
or childhood, I love it.
Exactly. Touch it, you know, jumping off roofs or climbing trees or tackling the boys next door, I was bored. And my mom would get so mad at me. I'm bored. Stop it. Go outside and play. You know, so she would click in.
There you go. You hit it, Lori. Look what happened right there. I'm bored, go outside and play.
Oh.
If adult Lori is bored, go outside and work. Go outside and find a podcast. Go outside and find something.
Holy shit, look at that. And it only cost me a podcast, Jeff.
It's really affordable.
It's very affordable.
Jeff's like, I'm gonna be on the mic next time.
Yeah, we'll switch things around. It's Chilling with Jeff.
Yeah, and no, then I'm gonna be right. Doing the ice.
I do feel like a lot of people do get a lot of therapeutic positivity through podcasting, though. As many podcasts that I've engineered, there is a lot that people just become open about, especially when they have a therapist on as a guest and everything. It does become like some kind of a form of therapy session. But even if not, then it's like, oh, you know what? That conversation was great. I feel much better about myself just by talking some things out, whether you had an intention to or not. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Or it's like watching the Housewives of Beverly Hills or the Housewives of Atlanta. Like my sister goes, I watch this just to make sure that I watch it because it makes me feel normal. And I was like,
I
love what?
That. I find myself I normal by She's not like, watching.
I know, right?
You don't want to ask me what I watch, okay?
Okay, we won't ask you.
What do you watch?
Don't ask her.
Yeah. Lori's like, no, don't do it. No,
seems like a true crime kind of girl.
No, I watch the weirdest shit, guys. You know what I like to watch actually calms me? You're going to lose it. I love watching people wash their rugs.
What is wrong
Or like
you?
Power wash. Yeah, or power wash.
No. That makes total sense because you like to see the satisfaction of it. It's a satisfying watching. It's like if you were to power wash something, it's a satisfaction of watching it go from A to Z. I understand that. I can't watch it on TV. I'd be bored.
Yeah. Right? But for me, that calms me down. And another thing is I love watching plants. I'm a big green thumb. Mm-hmm. You know, when they start from a seed, I love seeing their like evolution. Those are my two dirty secrets that you'll find on my phone. Absolutely. It's like the FBI is like, I'm going to raid your cell phone.
Right.
Why does she like watching dirty rugs being cleaned and plucked?
I know. That's interesting right there. So finding the right, finding the right therapist is so very important. And I totally understand that.
Absolutely.
And people need to give them a chance. And not only, and here's the thing I want to touch on too, just for people out there listening. And that is, you don't have to feel like you're crazy to go to a therapist. You know, a lot of people go, I don't need therapy. And it's not about feeling crazy or anything like that. Sometimes it's checking in with who you are and the things that are going on around you. Like, okay, how am I dealing with this? You know?
I love that word, checking in.
I do. I actually love therapy. It's fun because you get to sit and talk to somebody who doesn't know you whatsoever for an entire hour about yourself. And it's great.
You just close the door and you're like, all right, I got this. Right? It's soothing. It is soothing.
They don't tell me about their problems. They don't tell me about their overwhelmness. They sit and listen to me and my overwhelmness or my problems or something. But no, that's why I encourage therapy for a lot of people. It's not that you have to feel like you're crazy. I don't feel like I'm crazy. I'm just checking in to see where I'm at because I have so much going on in my life that I want to make sure that I don't get overwhelmed and that I am dealing with everything the way that it should be dealt with.
I love it. Absolutely. So a few things that therapists do, we give you life tools. Mm-hmm. We're not here to give you advice. We're here to be a guide, right? What you come in with, you're like, I'm dealing with boredom and I see some anxiousness, but you don't believe you're anxious. Guess what? That is not my doing to fix. Mm-hmm. My job here is to fix ice boredom.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
Gotcha.
Whatever a person doesn't see an issue as a therapist, a good therapist, we don't touch on that because that is not an issue being brought to us as a guide. Right. And then what we do is we give you tools to manage your day-to-day life. Right. So what I like to tell people is, what does anxiety feel like to you? Depression. What does it feel like? The touch, smell, anxiety can do these weird things to our body, sensations. Right. And so I do that for everything. Mm-hmm. What happens when you walk into work? Do you get like the little hairs? Do you start sweating? Do you get like over talkative and just share everything, your deepest, darkest secrets? And we're like, okay, let's get us some tools and skills that can help us, right? And I love how you do checking in with therapy because sometimes what tools worked for us the past year, the past few months, when I was a teenager may not suffice in today, in the here, now, in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Good because sometimes this tool helped, right, with a particular instance, but we've learned to overcome it, manage it, and then life just throws shit at you, and you're like, okay, what do I do now? What I love to tell people, it's like a dung beetle. You know, they roll up shit, and then it breaks apart, and then you move on. Then we'll roll into something else, and we're like, okay, how do we fix this? What is this like? Because that's life, Ori. And the reality of everyday living, there's no perfectionism. There's no perfect 8 to 5. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect job. And things get thrown at us. And I love to always throw comedy and just like funny things so people can remember mm-hmm. and just kind of normalize those things. And I want to go back to what you shared with like, oh, it's so great. I get to just talk to her for 1 hour. Guess what? That's storytelling.
There you go.
That's narrative. You're mm-hmm. giving that special moment with this other human being. Trust me, as therapists, we are so fortunate to like hear everyone's story, and it feels amazing to get to be that one special person in someone's life that gets to hear these things.
That's interesting, because I would think mm-hmm. that a therapist would be like, oh my God, here comes that person. And damn, I don't know if I could spend an entire hour and listening to them and having them cry. And I mean, you guys have to have a very special, wonderful ability to actually handle these situations. I mean, there's no doubt when my father passed away, yeah. I went to a therapist and I literally sat there and cried for an entire hour. And I never went back because I felt great afterwards. I was like, okay, that's all I needed. You know?
Right. That's that connection. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. That is that connection, that piece that we're like, where do we get this? Right. Yeah. And that's where that part we're going to talk about is co-regulation. Mm. We have a partner or a family member that's healthy, can co-regulate. Our body's going to mimic that. Hmm. Right. So if we have a healthy role model, therapist A, mm-hmm. guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be learning those features. The brain's going to analyze facial expressions, tone of voice. If I start talking really low, you're going to want to really pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's
is that why therapists do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk real soft.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we're not sexy in like that really long, sexy couch. Sorry, guys, to break it to you on the podcast. We're with really thick cardigans and we just sit in a chair or sit next to you in a couch. It's not that sexy as, you know, right. HBO Max makes it seem like. But yeah, like Aisha, all of those things are great.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I mean, and sharing this with us, because I think mental health and in today's day and age, the where we're at, it's so important. And the work that you're doing is absolutely fabulous. And you're out there helping all these people. And I'm a big advocate of mental health and, you know, seeking out a therapist.
Thank you.
And wait a minute, so they can go on Psychology Today. Is that what it was? If they were actually looking for
Psychology Today.
Okay.
And hit that, what is it? Maybe Jeff, you can help me, shift control F to have a little search bar because the whole list will come out.
How old are you? Yeah, yeah. It's like, how old is she?
Control shift delete.
Okay. Exactly. Well, damn.
Control shift delete.
I'm an old soul. I'm all looking at my keyboard. Shift Command F and it will, it'll pop up. And that way, you know, your viewers can see this and then they can be like, okay, I want to look for grief or I want to look for anxiety or intrusive thoughts. Anything that the world can find, trust me, we're there. And if we don't have the answer for it, we will find it for you.
Now,
you know, and then that's the fun thing, normalizing things.
So here's my question to you, because I always get this question asked to me when I'm on different podcasts, and that is this: what would you want to share with the world if you were on a microphone at this time and we were talking about therapy and mental health? What would you actually want to share, and what would your message be? What's important?
Oh, this is going to be a tearjerker
for me. Go for it. Go for it. We love crying people.
I think I want the world to know, no matter what life tosses at you, no matter what you are born in or born with, there's nothing in this world that cannot be solved with a person in front of you, with a person next to you supporting you. And if you cannot find that, you can find that in therapy. You know, you can find quote unquote normalcy. You can find coping skills, coping tools, and people to help you over that bridge. Because every life is so precious. We do not need to lose life because our brain and our mental health took a different shift. Mm-hmm. And it is very normal. Mm-hmm. We are chemicals and hormones, and, you know, life throws this, and know that we can always connect and build this right back up where then you feel confident, you feel safe, and your life is worth living because you don't know the next person you're going to touch and connect with. And again, have that storytelling time. I think it's the beauty of mental health and connection. And it is the reason why I'm on here today, because I got to have some storytelling with Lori and be on here. And so that would be my message to the world. And don't ever feel alone. Someone is there. Even if you have to hire a therapist,
that's why we like have a job, guys. Even if you have to hire someone, somebody's there.
Yes. Mm. And no, the world's listening. There is free therapy. You guys go to your city and you guys contact the mental health authority and you will have access to care.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
Sliding scales, you will find pro bono. Mm-hmm. And there is a will and there's a way. And don't let those really sad days or those days you want to give up be the end of it, because there is no end of it. We are here for everybody.
That's awesome.
That is my message.
I love that message. Thank you so much. I'm so happy I met you in El Paso. It was so much fun.
Me too. I was so excited. I had so many laughs. I'm all like, you know, side note, I was telling my husband, I was like, you're going to be like, how did she get that therapist on there? And she's going to be like, psh, 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 psh.
Well, I actually did share with Jeff the what I did sign for you, which was hysterical.
Oh, wonderful.
Look
wonderful.
At he's laughing.
I love it. I love it.
It's so colorful.
Yes.
Very colorful.
It
yes.
was very yes. colorful. And I think I'm going to leave that as a small little secret on my podcast that people would have to message me
it's
and
a
go,
deep, dark secret.
What was that rainbow thing that you signed for her?
Yes, yes. Yes,
oh God,
absolutely.
Awesome.
I love it.
Thank Jeff you was like, so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. This was
thank
fun.
Thank you. And thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Ice. I really appreciate it. And again, if you guys ever need anything, or a friend or anything, Lori, give me a call.
Oh, like, you're in my phone now, girl. You got my
I can
phone number.
Fund everything for
we're,
you all.
we're friends now. This is the way it is. You know,
we're
I'll
connected.
Text you and go,
absolutely,
look, I can't afford
absolutely.
My therapist this week. So what do you got 30 minutes from now?
You got any advice you can give me for right now? you know what that advice is going to be?
What?
I'm going to tell you, name your five senses. I'm going to tell you, name your five senses. Is there some ice cubes around? They're going to hold ice cubes. Let me tell you why.
Why?
It actually resets the central nervous system.
What?
Your brain is trying to figure out what's going on. Yes. So, Jeff, you got some ice cubes in
I can go get some,
studio?
but because I'm around ice so much, I just feel so good about myself. Now I know why.
You feel so...
Look at that.
You see
look
what
at
we're
that.
Going on? Yes. Okay, wait.
So you're telling
I love
me
it. I love
that
it.
If you hold an ice cube in your fingertips... Or in your hand, which
yes,
one?
Yes, we're going to hold the ice cubes.
In our hands.
Okay.
Okay.
In our hands.
Gotcha.
And then we're going to be like, okay, what does this feel like? And we're going to start naming the senses.
Okay.
Oh, shit, it feels really cold.
Okay.
And then I'm starting to feel numbness. I'm starting to feel the ice drip, you know? And then we're just going to hold on to it. Hold on to it. Guess what's going to happen into our system of regulation? The brain is going to now see this as a perceived threat, And I say threat as something, you know, fun, you know,
right.
And it's gonna be like, oh shit, why do we have something super cold in our hand? That mm-hmm. is what the brain is saying.
Okay.
Instead of blah, 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 scribbles in our head.
Okay.
You know?
So you're saying it resets it.
And that's
it.
How we can reset it.
Yes. Interesting.
That's what we call CPR for our amygdala, the smoke detector. Another way we can do that is we're gonna sense how we feel. We stress, numbed, worry. We're going to notice like the intensity. And then the same thing, we're going to apply some pressure. And then we're also going to touch the body. And we are going to listen to stuff we weren't listening to before. Have you ever gone to like Target and it's blasting this booming music? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh shit, what's next on my groceries? Mm-hmm. You don't hear that booming music anymore.
You're right.
Because the brain will filter it out.
Wow, you're right.
We're not being mindful.
But right when you walk in, you go, oh my God.
Boom, boom, boom. It's like I'm in the damn clubs again, mm-hmm. you know? And then you're shopping, you don't hear it. And then you're walking out, you're mindful, you're like, oof. I didn't die at the grocery shop place, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's like a battlefield in there. And you're listening to that music again. Huh. Because you're starting to use your senses. And that's what we kind of do with that. And the mind is so powerful. Laura, you got a minute for one more?
Go.
So usually we do this in person. I'm going to give you the most juiciest, biggest lemon from Positano. So here, I have it in my hands, Laura. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it to you.
Got it.
Get the lemon.
Got it.
You got the lemon.
I got the lemon in my hand.
Okay, two hands.
Okay,
two
we got hands. Two hands. Okay, it's a big one.
You're going to have it in there. I want you to squeeze the lemon. Just kind of feel it.
Okay.
Feel that lemon. What does it feel like? What does the texture feel like?
The lemon is kind of slimy because it's a lemon and it's kind of hard on the outside, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of soft at the same time, but... Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Hard,
put
slimy,
it to your mouth.
Soft.
I want you to smell the lemon. What does it smell like?
Sweet, sour, like a lemon.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to bite that lemon now.
Oh, damn.
Bite the lemon. You gotta bite that lemon.
Okay. That's where my mouth just puckered. Like it was like just intense, the sourness of it.
Look, open your hand. Open your hand. It's an invisible lemon, and look how strong your brain is.
Oh, damn.
That was cool.
That was good.
That was really cool.
That was good. Interesting.
I was
doing it, too, so that was so cool.
did you feel like your mouth water?
Oh, I definitely tasted it. So yeah. When I took a bite,
isn't that insane?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had a lemon in a while.
Me neither.
So I definitely... Yeah. More of a lime guy, but you know, lemon.
I am fascinated by how our brain works. I mean, literally, if I weren't into health and fitness and everything else, yes, I would have probably went into studying the brain and becoming some type of therapist or something. But I'm fascinated.
I invited you to a class.
I know. I'm fascinated with it.
Next time.
That's
next time.
Beautiful. But what a great analogy.
How powerful, guys. We are thousands of miles away. Mm-hmm. And look what just happened right now in a few seconds.
Yep. All over.
Right.
Zoom.
And so the power of therapy, right? That's the power of therapy, mm-hmm. is retraining those different parts and thoughts of the brain with someone you feel safe with and connected and can co-regulate with you.
Do you ever do therapy over Zoom?
It's magic.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
I do.
Okay. So at this moment to tell people where they can find you, if that's the case.
Okay, so I am actually going to be switching to agency. Okay. So you'll see an update in my psychology today.
Okay.
But you guys can follow me on Instagram. I have, you guys are going to laugh. I'm so old school. I didn't have any social media. I was like, oh crap, I'm going to be on a podcast. I got to make something.
You're so a therapist. You're a therapist. I mean, nobody do you guys have social media?
We don't because we connect with human connection all the time.
Exactly.
But then there's
the post of like, oh, this person today.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. There might be somebody on my podcast that goes,
right.
Wow, I could really connect with her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's Hispanic.
I
she gets
that.
It.
Yeah.
She had a rough childhood. She can understand where I'm coming from. So that's why I asked the question.
if there's a listener out there today that feels like they can connect with you.
Absolutely. So you guys will be seeing an update on my psychology today.
Okay.
And then I am, you guys can follow me at House of Dagger Therapy at Gmail.
House
brand
of
new
dagger.
It's a baby, guys, don't judge me just yet.
Okay, wait,
House of Dagger Therapy.
Okay, so how do you, how are you spelling dagger, because you have an H in your last name?
Yes, so D-A-G-H-E-R.
D-A-G-H-E-R. Got it. So House of Dagger Therapy.
Yes, and then they can just Google me. They'll see my update on my psychology today if they want to connect. I am Texas-based, so I'm fully just Texas. Mm-hmm. We're trying to wait to see if we can hopefully branch up the T so I can see more people from different states. But that's an ongoing lobbying situation.
Right, of course.
So yeah, that's where you guys can find me and connect with me.
Oh my God, thank
Aisha
you.
Dagger.
Aisha, how are you spelling Aisha for my audience?
A-I-S-H-A.
A-I-S-H-A.
And then the last name's Dagger, D-A-G-H-E-R.
So cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. Aisha, thank you so much for today. I know this was a great podcast, and hopefully it touched a few people out there when they were listening, because that's really what I love to either entertain or, you know, inform different people out there.
That thank
they,
you for having
that's
me
what makes
on
them
here.
Listening. Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Thank you
it.
So much. I appreciate you. Thank you for the time. Thank you, Jeff, for hooking it up, for making this process go, and go eat some lemons.
Let's do it. There's a lemon tree right outside. Let's go.
Thank
I'm
you.
Jealous. I'm
I
jealous.
Know, right?
I love it.
Thank you so much for
Have
listening to Chilling
night,
with
guys.
Ice.
Take care.
Thank you so much, Aisha. Thank you for listening to Chilling with Ice. And this is where legends live on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Chilling with Ice. And don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe, and share wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember to follow us on Patreon and YouTube at Chillin' with Ice. And on Instagram and TikTok, you can follow me at lori.ice.fetrick. I look forward to chilling with you next time here on Chillin' with Ice.